Okay, let's go to God's word. We're going to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke 15, I want to read to you the account of the prodigal son. Recently in our fellowship, we spent 7 Sunday mornings thinking about the prodigal. And I want you this evening to listen to God's word as if you were hearing it for the very first time. Because this is so, there's rich, rich biblical teaching here for us all. Luke 15 and at verse 11, the words of Jesus. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger one got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered his property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Amen. Let's just have a little prayer and ask for God's help. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for this parable of the prodigal son. And we thank you, Father, that all of us in this tent have known this parable probably since we were children. And Father, tonight we would simply and boldly ask that we would see something new in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to examine this parable as if we were reading it for the very first time. Holy Spirit of God, come and apply biblical truth. Sanctify us by your Word, because your Word is truth. Lord, speak in these moments. Close out all distractions and speak to my heart and speak to all of our hearts. In Jesus, our Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Okay, in our times together, as you're aware, we're thinking together about appetite stealers, things that rob us of a spiritual appetite for God. Earlier this afternoon, we thought about guilt. And we said as believers, guilt was something that so often takes away our spiritual appetite, robs us of a thirst, robs us of a hunger for God. And tonight, as we look at Luke 15, I want us to think about another appetite stealer, something else that robs us of our spiritual appetite, of our spiritual hunger for God. I want us to think tonight about bitterness. And I want us to focus specifically on this message on the elder brother. I'm sure you, like me, have heard umpteen different messages on the elder brother. But if we're united on one truth tonight, we're united on the truth that the elder brother was a bitter man. If you look with me at verse 28, Jesus says these words, "He was angry and he refused to go in." Folks, with the elder brother, bitterness was something that was consuming him. Bitterness was something that was eating him alive. Hebrews 12 verse 15 says, "A root of bitterness has sprung up." Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness." If you're a believer tonight, if you are resting on Jesus only and only Jesus for your salvation, I want to ask you, have you grown bitter in your walk with the Lord? I know Christians tonight, and they're bitter towards God. They maybe prayed hard for a saved loved one who was struggling with illness, and they prayed, maybe they even fasted, and they pleaded with God to step in and bring healing to the body of someone that they loved. And that didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out. And sadly, they have grown bitter towards God. I know other Christians who have been very, very effective in the Lord's work. And then something happens that shouldn't happen in their lives. And they grow bitter towards a brother or a sister in Christ. And sadly, they lose out with God. Sadly, I believe God has to put their lives on park, spiritually speaking. Tonight, I'm challenging you. Are you losing out with God through bitterness? Let's notice a number of things in these verses at the end of Luke 15. Here's the first one: the horrible portrait of a bitter heart. The horrible portrait of a bitter heart. Look at verses 25 through to 27. "The older brother was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked them what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.'" Folks, the elder brother just couldn't cope with what the father was doing for the prodigal. And as I look at this portrait of a bitter heart, let me tell you a number of things I see. Here's the first one. I see anger. Look at verse 28. "The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him." The elder brother's anger gives us a pretty good insight into his real character. Now, he was angry. Why was he angry? Because all the attention of his father was being showered on the prodigal. And the elder brother thought this wasn't fair. The elder brother just couldn't cope with this. He was full of anger. He was full of unforgiveness. And look what he says in response to this. Verse 29, "All these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Do you know what I hear there? I hear there resentment, exaggeration, and self-pity. Do you know what he's saying? He is saying, "Poor old me." Do you ever say "poor old me" to the Lord? I do sometimes. "Lord, you've given me a raw deal. This is not fair." That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He was full of anger. Let me show you something else. He was full of a lack of love. He didn't love his younger brother. Now the father had welcomed the prodigal home. The party was already in progress before the word got to the elder brother. And I often ask myself, why didn't he know that the prodigal was home? And you know why? Because he wasn't looking out for the prodigal coming home. I believe the elder brother didn't even want his prodigal brother to come home. But you know, it gets worse. The elder brother was so unforgiving towards his brother, I want you to see this, that he couldn't even use his name. Look at verse 30. He complains and he says, but when this son of yours, do you see that? When this son of yours, boys, I've sat time and time again as a pastor in somebody's home who is full of bitterness and they have an issue with somebody else and they can't even bring themselves to use that person's name. He did this. She did that. And they can't even use the name of a brother or sister in Christ because they're so full of bitterness and so lacking in love. He refused to go in. How many family gatherings come at Christmas time? And people who are professing Christians refuse to go in. Well, you know, if he is there, I'm not going. He got the part of the will that I should have got. And if he's going to be there, I'm not going to that Christmas party. Or how many people, and listen folks, this happens, how many Christians refuse to go to certain organizations and churches? I'm not going there because so-and-so will be there. And they're full of bitterness and full of anger. I want to ask you tonight, is that you? Because I have to tell you, if that is you, and I'm not going to mince my words, you're a spiritual fake. You're a spiritual fake. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 20, if any man says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar. Portrait of an unforgiving heart. What do we see? We see anger. We see a lack of love. Here's the third thing. We see pride. Look at verse 29. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. The elder brother was proud and he didn't even see it. And his heart was filled with pride. And you know, folks, I'm convinced of this. And study this parable again for yourself. I am convinced that secretly the elder brother was glad that the prodigal had gone away. And you know why he was glad? Because it made him look good. He was the goody one. He stayed at home. But his brother, sure, he went away to the far country. And you know, we as Christians are very good at comparing ourselves to other people. Well, Lord, at least I don't do this. You know, Lord, they're professing to be Christians and they do this, that, and the other. Lord, I'm not like them. And we can be full of pride. I see anger, I see a lack of love, I see pride. What else do I see? I see deception. He was deceived. Look again at verses 29 and 30. All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. The prodigal had gone away. And the prodigal's sins were very obvious while living. Immoral living. Squandering his part of the inheritance. The elder brother had stayed at home and his sin was a little bit more respectable. His sin was disguised a little bit. His sin was hidden. His sin wasn't as obvious, wasn't as glaringly obvious as his prodigal brother's sin was. I wonder, is there a professing Christian here tonight and we're deceived? You know, we're very good at seeing other people's sins, aren't we? We're very, very good. And we're very, very good at having a league table of sins. There's the premiership, you know, the really, really bad ones. And our sins aren't really in that category. Our sins are, we think, a wee bit further down. And you know, when we judge sin through our deceived eyes, we're simply deceived. So the horrible portrait of a bitter heart. But as this parable goes on, I want you to see the floodlight of Scripture swings away from the elder brother, and it's as if it turns right round to the loving father. So let's look secondly at the beautiful portrait of a forgiving heart. And look at some characteristics of the Father's forgiving heart. The first thing I see is I see tenderness. Look at verse 31. My son, the Father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Can I ask you tonight a really honest question? Is there some professing Christian in this tent and you're struggling with bitterness? And something has happened to you. And listen, I've been there and got the t-shirt and it's not nice. But it happens. And it happens in churches. And it happens in evangelical churches. Let's get real tonight. It shouldn't happen, but it happens. And when it happens, we lie awake at night and fester, don't we? And we wake up in the morning and it's the first thing on our minds in the morning and it hurts like mad. And you know, in those days, the Lord has to say to me, Jonathan, you're my child. Focus on what really matters. Focus on what really matters. And I have to confess to you, hold up my hands, that at times I've got consumed by things that have happened that shouldn't have happened. And it's not nice. It's not nice when those things happen. But there's the tenderness of the Father's heart. What else is there? There's the blessing of the Father's heart. Look at verse 31. My son, the Father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. In other words, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Do you know when we have the palms, the pearled me's as Liz calls them, when I have them, you've got the palms today, Jonathan. When you've got the palms, you think you're the only person in the world that's got the palms. And the Lord says, my child, listen, just look up and count your blessings. Do you see how he was trying to move his focus away from his own bitter heart to what he had in the Father? And we need to do that, brothers and sisters. I'm speaking from my heart tonight. We need to do that. Because all heaven, the blessing of all heaven is at our disposal. We have unsearchable riches in Jesus Christ. And so often we're just consumed about this issue that has hurt us. Yes, it shouldn't have happened, but it's hurt us. And so often, spiritually speaking, our lives are put in park or on hold. There was tenderness in the Father's heart. There was blessing in the Father's heart. What else was there? There was rejoicing. Look at verse 32. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Do you know what the Father's saying? The Father's saying, listen, let's get consumed with what really matters. 4 years ago now, I had the most life-changing experience outside of my own personal conversion when I spent a month of my life in the land of Iraq with AsiaLink. And boy, what an experience. And you know, back home in the church I was in at that time, we were doing a building project. And folks, if you want to see a manifestation of Adam, do a building project. If you want to see we old ladies getting fired up, one lady said she was going to chain herself. This has been recorded, I have to be careful what I say. She was going to chain herself to the pillars at the front of the church if we went ahead with this. She was. And I went to Iraq and I was with brothers and sisters in Christ that were being murdered. And I come home, and in the church, they were fighting about whether they take down that wall or not. Does it really matter? It's only a wall. And you know, that's the prodigal. That's the elder brother, rather, attitude. We can get bogged down on things that don't really matter. And the Father says, listen, there's rejoicing in heaven. This brother of yours has come home. We need to rejoice. We need to be glad. This is what really matters. And in all of our churches, people get bogged down. What do? We major on minors. And we get bogged down in the majoring of the minors Thank God she didn't chain herself to the pillars. The beautiful portrait of a forgiving heart. The horrible portrait of a bitter heart. The beautiful portrait of a forgiving heart. But let me apply this tonight. Here's my application. What's your heart like tonight? You know, the most dangerous prayer I can pray is, Lord, show me my heart. And yet that's the most revolutionary prayer. Lord, show me my heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I've cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I can't speak for Canada, but I can speak for Northern Ireland. That I'm convinced the reason Northern Ireland and Ireland has not seen revival is broken relationships among the people of God. Broken relationships. Corrie Ten Boom. And boy, did she know hard things happening to her, things that weren't fair. What did she say? She said, you never touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies. Listen to Romans 12, verses 19 to 21. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I visited a guy recently who's had a pretty raw deal in an evangelical church. And to use a Northern Ireland expression, he emptied his belly to me. Just told me what he thought. 10-15 minutes, he just spewed it all out. And I had to say to him, yeah, it shouldn't have happened, but it has happened. Here are the options. Option number one, you can hold on to it and you'll become better. Or option number two is you can leave it at the foot of the cross and leave it with the Lord and move on. And you know what he said to me? I'm going to choose option number one. I'm going to choose option number one. That's heartbreaking, folks. I wonder, do some of us need to go and say to someone the hardest word that evangelical Christians find to say? Sorry. Some of us need to go and give somebody a hug and say, listen, I was wrong, sorry. Some of us need to send an email, a letter, text, and just say, I'm sorry. Because folks, I'm speaking from my heart. The times I've been bitter, there's been wasted months, wasted years. And the only one that loses out with God is me. So am I speaking to someone that's struggling with bitterness? And you're saying, ah, but Jonathan, you don't know what they did. No, listen, I don't really want to know, but I know when they hammered nails into my Savior's hands on Calvary. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if we are really passionate followers of that Savior, and we have to forgive. But you're saying, ah, but Jonathan, repentance is an important part of forgiveness. It's a vitally important part of forgiveness. What happens if they don't repent? As a lady said to me recently, whose children tragically had been abused, how can I forgive a man who's dead? He abused my children. And I said to her, listen, somehow you have to take that situation and leave it at the cross. And and say, Lord, I can't make sense of it, but Lord, I'm leaving it at the cross. And Lord, I'm simply asking, don't let my heart get bitter. Keep my heart soft, keep my heart tender, and don't let my heart get bitter. A bitter heart. Someone with a chip on his shoulder, that was the elder brother. And folks, our churches are full of elder brothers. And it's holding back revival. It's holding back so much blessing. So how's your appetite? How's your thirst for God? Has it been robbed, quenched, because of bitterness tonight? Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the biblical account of the elder brother. And Father, sometimes we find it easier to focus on the prodigal than we do on the elder brother. But Lord, not only is there a big part of the prodigal in all of us, there's a big part of the elder brother in all of us. And Father, tonight I want to lovingly pray for anyone that's struggling with bitterness. Lord, it happens in churches. Maybe it even happens in missionary organizations. And Lord, things happen that shouldn't happen. And Lord, so often we just get consumed. So often, Lord, it's the last thing on our mind at night. It's the first thing on our hearts in the morning. So often, it's the thing that we love to talk about and we love to complain about. But oh God, when we get bitter, Lord, we tremble at the prospect that you put our lives on hold. You put our lives on spiritual park. And oh God, if there's anyone in this tent who is struggling with bitterness, Lord, will you come to them tonight? And Lord, maybe it's a complex situation like that lady whose kids were abused. But Lord, will you help her to come and leave it all at the cross? And Lord, even if there's been no repentance, help them to leave it at the cross. And Lord, keep their heart tender. Keep their heart soft, O God. And O God, don't let them get consumed. Don't let them get waylaid and bogged down with a situation that's so painful. But let them leave it with Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you can even sort out our bitter hearts. Thank you that you can sort out guilt, as we were thinking earlier. And thank you tonight that you can sort out bitterness. So Lord, come to people that are struggling. And Lord, we're all holding up our hands, as it were, because we all struggle with bitterness. Lord, we leave it with you. Please, Lord, there is a place of quiet rest, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Lord, we want to repent tonight of everything that keeps us from the heart of God. Lord, will you move? Lord, will you bless? Lord, will you revive your people? Lord, we believe that we're not seeing a move of the Spirit because many of us are bogged down with our own petty, insignificant squabbles. Oh God, have mercy on us and waken us up to what really counts. In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Amen.